This morning, America's First News starts right after this.
Do you own or rent your home? Sure you do. Fortunately, GEICO makes it easy to bundle your home and car insurance. It's a good thing, too, because having a home is hard work. Go to GEICO.com, get a quote, and see how much you could save. GEICO.com. Easy.
From Compass Media Networks, this is America's First News. This morning, with your host, Gordon Deal.
Dozens missing. Good morning, I'm Gordon Deal, along with Jennifer Koshenka, on this Friday, June 25th. Glad you could be with us, and here's what we have for you this hour.
Search and rescue teams in South Florida continue looking for survivors in the rubble of a partial building collapse in the town of Surfside.
An agreement has been reached on a nearly $1 trillion infrastructure bill, but to sign it, President Biden wants other measures passed as well.
Former Minneapolis police officer Derek Chauvin will be sentenced today for the murder of George Floyd. It's not clear if he'll make a statement.
And while you may have to repay some of the advanced child tax credit the government is about to send.
So it's really interesting because we have the advanced child tax credit starting next month. I can't believe we're already in the season for this. And I think a lot of parents are very concerned on whether they're going to have to owe taxes next year if they immediately spend this money.
Megan Lenhart at CNBC Make It on potentially owing on your taxes next year. Nearly 100 people remain unaccounted for as rescuers race to find survivors after the partial collapse of a condo tower in the Miami area. The 12-story building in the town of Surfside crumbled in the dark of yesterday morning. At least one person has been confirmed dead, and the fear is that there are dozens more. Ray Jadala, chief of operations at Miami-Dade Fire Rescue, said mobile cameras and sonar devices had not detected much evidence of survivors.
We did have a small fire as a result of some shifting of the building. We were able to extinguish it within 20 minutes, after which time we went back in and we conducted search operations.
About 55 units were affected and the building was substantially full of occupants. Rescuers pulled 35 out of the building and two from the rubble. They have accounted for at least 102 occupants altogether. Surfside Mayor Charles Burkett said, "I think we're going to one day find that there was something very strange going on at this building." He added, "Buildings just don't fall down in America. They just don't." To Washington now, President Biden and a group of 10 bipartisan senators have agreed to a nearly $1 trillion infrastructure plan. However, Mr. Biden and Democratic leaders said that advancing the deal on transportation, water, and broadband infrastructure will hinge on the passage of more elements of Mr. Biden's $4 trillion economic agenda. The two-track process sets up weeks of negotiations to gather support for both infrastructure spending and a separate Democratic proposal.
Both need to get done. I'm going to work closely with Speaker Pelosi and Leader Schumer to make sure that both move through the legislative process promptly and in tandem.
With $579 billion of spending above expected federal levels and a total of $973 billion of investment over 5 years, the agreement will make new investments in the electrical grid, transit, roads, bridges, and other forms of infrastructure. The White House says the cost of the spending will be covered by repurposing existing federal funds, plus public-private partnerships and enhanced IRS collection efforts. Former Minneapolis police officer Derek Chauvin will be formally sentenced today for the murder of George Floyd. Mr. Chauvin, who's 45 years old, faces decades in prison. Though he's widely expected to appeal, he also still faces trial on federal civil rights charges. More from this morning's Mike Gavin.
Mr. Chauvin was convicted of second-degree unintentional murder, third-degree murder, and second-degree manslaughter for pressing his knee against Mr. Floyd's neck during an arrest for about 9.5 minutes as the man said he couldn't breathe and went limp. Mr. Chauvin will be sentenced only on the most serious charge, which has a maximum sentence of 40 years. But case law dictates that a 30-year sentence would be the practical maximum sentence Judge Peter Cahill could impose without risk of being overturned on appeal. Gordon.
Thanks, Mike. Prosecutors asked for 30 years, saying Mr. Chauvin's actions were egregious and shocked the nation's conscience. Defense attorney Eric Nelson requested probation, saying Mr. Chauvin was the product of a broken system and, quote, believed he was doing his job. It's 11 minutes now after the hour on This Morning, America's First News. Coming up next, when the labor shortage will come to an end. Do you love seafood when you're out to eat but never make it for yourself at home? Yeah, me too. But the key to restaurant quality at home starts with high-quality seafood and simple techniques from Wild Alaskan Company. With Wild Alaskan Company, you're getting high-quality, sustainably sourced, wild-caught seafood delivered right to your door. Choose from salmon, whitefish, or a combination. Money back if you're not happy. I went with the Wild Combo Box. Fired it up on the grill with a little garlic, lemon, and parsley. It was like sitting at some dockside restaurant in the last frontier. Each piece of fish was individually wrapped and labeled. Plus, the packaging can be composted. Wild Alaskan Company seafood is always wild, never farmed or modified, and contains no antibiotics. It's how nature intended it. And right now, you can get $15 off your first box of premium seafood when you visit wildalaskancompany.com/Gordon. That's wildalaskancompany.com/Gordon for $15 off your first box. wildalaskancompany.com/Gordon. Thanks for being with us. Welcome into Friday. The economy would be booming if only businesses could find all the workers they need. Employers report 9.3 million unfilled jobs, the most on record. But millions of workers remain on the sidelines, holding back growth and delaying the return to a normal pre-pandemic economy. There are four main reasons they have. Here to explore is Rick Newman, senior columnist at Yahoo Finance. Rick, take us through it.
The one that's getting the most attention are the federal jobless benefits. That's the extra $300 a week for unemployed workers. And Republicans in particular say that just that creates a disincentive to work. That's probably part of the story, but there was a recent study by the San Francisco Federal Reserve Bank that found only about 1 in 7 workers would probably turn down a job because they'd rather get unemployment. And there are a lot of other things going on that are keeping others workers out of the labor force as well. So those things include fear of coronavirus. There's other data showing that it could be as many as 4 million unemployed workers say they're still concerned about getting sick if they go back to work. We've also seen a spate of early retirements. Older workers saying, I was going to retire in a couple years anyway, but I think I'm just going to retire now. They've left the workforce at about double the rate. And then you have parents who are still stuck at home to take care of kids because schools are not back to normal. And we've also had a lot of disruption in the childcare industry where firms have just, small companies have just had to shut down. They're not there. So the labor shortage is going to end when all of these factors work themselves out. That's basically what's going to happen.
All right, so what's happening to the economy in the meantime since we're short bodies at companies?
It's very interesting because we probably have hit a new high in terms of economic output or GDP. There's a forecasting firm called IHS Market that tracks GDP on a monthly basis. The government tracks it on a quarterly basis. And IHS thinks we got back to pre-pandemic levels of output in May, last month. So in other words, we are now producing more. The overall economy is now producing more than it was before the pandemic. And we're doing that with 7.6 million fewer workers. That's a very interesting situation. Mm-hmm. Economists aren't sure what to make of that. Why has the economy suddenly become so much more productive? But it probably does mean the economy is going to absorb those workers sitting on the sidelines or who are still out of work. And it's probably going to happen within the next year or two.
We're speaking with Rick Newman, senior columnist at Yahoo Finance. His piece is called This is When the Labor Shortage Will End. Something else that jumped out in your story, too. 1.4 million fewer mothers working.
Yeah, and that can only be because of what we've seen happen with childcare. We have millions of kids staying home as schools went to remote. I think nobody is happy with remote schooling in the workplace. I think we've maybe have some new innovations coming because we discovered, a lot of people can work remotely and be just as productive and maybe even more productive than going to the office or going to a workplace. Not so in education. I think there's a widespread realization that we need to get back to in-person schooling. And that does seem like what's going to happen in the fall. So that's going to be good news for working parents as we get to the point where teachers can get vaccinated and maybe even kids can get vaccinated. That is going to be a huge relief for working parents.
Does seem like September on the calendar looms very large.
Very large because obviously the beginning of the school season, but the first week of September is also when the federal jobless benefits expire.
Yeah.
Congress has extended that program before, but it has become controversial, and there is pretty good evidence that the economy now is recovering on its own. So I don't think that's going to get extended again. And then we're going to find out where a lot of those people getting the unemployment insurance, the federal extra amount, were they staying away from jobs just because they wanted that extra money? If they were, then we should see a surge of employment in September, October, and November. But I think there are good reasons to see this. The surge in rehiring those people is going to be more gradual.
Thanks, Rick. Rick Newman, senior columnist at Yahoo Finance. 20 minutes after the hour on This Morning, here's Jennifer Koschenka.
And now, the three big things you need to know. Number one.
Nearly 100 people are still missing a day after a 12-story building in Surfside, Florida collapsed into rubble early yesterday. Much of the building's beachside sheared off for unknown reasons, pancaking a pile of concrete and metal more than 30 feet high. Only one person has been confirmed dead, but officials fear that number could skyrocket. Miami-Dade Police Director Freddie Ramirez.
This is a very tragic situation for those families and for our community. We are all suffering together. We are all here standing by them, and we're working very hard.
Rescue crews work through the night in hopes of finding survivors. No cause for the collapse has been determined.
Number two.
President Biden has announced a bipartisan agreement on a pared-down infrastructure plan.
These investments represent the kind of national effort that throughout our history has literally, not figuratively, literally transformed America and propelled us into the future.
The bill's price tag at $973 billion over 5 years, or $1.2 trillion over 8 years, is a scaled back but still significant piece of Biden's broader proposals.
Number three.
Leaders of indigenous groups in Canada say investigators have found 751 unmarked graves at the site of a former residential school for indigenous children, a discovery that follows last month's report of 215 at another school. The bodies were discovered at a school that operated from 1899 to 1997, about 85 miles east of Regina, the capital of Saskatchewan. The Biden administration plans to evacuate at least some of the Afghans who worked with the U.S. military and who faced the threat of retribution from the Taliban before the U.S. withdrawal's official completion date of September 11th. The decision follows urgent appeals in recent weeks from lawmakers from both parties and veterans of the war in Afghanistan. After nearly 30 years and a lot of bizarre moments, Conan O'Brien said goodbye to late-night TV last night. Conan, O'Brien's long-running TBS show, came to a close with the man who helped start it all, Homer Simpson. O'Brien is not going away, though. He will host a new weekly variety series for HBO Max.
All right. Thank you, Jen. Coming up next, a warning about the enhanced child tax credit.
This is a metaphor for your business's journey. Sometimes it feels like you're going 100 miles an hour, barely keeping up. But to cruise through challenges, you need someone who's right there with you. That's what Dell Technologies advisors do. They have the tech advice you need to get past whatever's in front of you and get to where you want to go. For advice on solutions like XPS 13 laptops powered by Intel Evo platform, call an advisor today at 877-ASK-DELL.
Thanks for spending time with us. The advance payments of the enhanced child tax credit are set to start next month. But a big question on many parents' minds is whether they will end up owing on their taxes next year if they immediately spend the money. For some parents, the answer is probably yes. Here's how from Megan Lenhart, senior reporter at CNBC Make It. Megan, what's up here?
So it's really interesting because we have the advanced child tax credit starting next month. I can't believe we're already in the season for this. And I think a lot of parents are very concerned on whether they're going to have to owe taxes next year if they immediately spend this money. So we delve into it a little bit and talk to a bunch of financial planners and CPAs around what is going on here, what parents need to understand, and why there's such a wide spectrum here of folks who may end up repaying and folks who may just be perfectly fine spending those advanced child payments.
And why is it different this time, Megan?
So it's not like the stimulus checks, and I want to make that very clear. I think a lot of folks, those were free money. You didn't have to repay it. There was no issue around your taxes or your tax brackets when it came to stimulus checks. It was great. Very easy to use, very easy system. But when it comes to the child tax credit, it is a credit that you get for your taxes. So if you have one child who's under the age of six, you're going to be getting $3,000 for your 2021 tax. taxes. And what Congress has gone and done is said, okay, well, you can get up to half of that this year, starting in July, once a month. And so that can be really beneficial for parents, particularly those who have been struggling during the pandemic to stay afloat financially. This is great. But it also means that it's a prepayment of credits that you could be using against your 2021 tax bill. So if you typically end up having to pay taxes on a year-to-year basis, then you might want to be a little careful about spending half of your credit, because what could end up happening is your credit may say, you know, take off a couple thousand dollars from your tax bill, and then you end up owing taxes. It means that you have to repay that credit.
Okay. So we're trying to think long term here too, right? We're talking about April 15, essentially, of next year when you go to file the 2021 taxes. This is what we have to think about.
Yes, exactly. So I think, you know, the best advice from a lot of the financial experts that we were speaking to is that, you know, you really need to take a step back before these credits start hitting your account and look at your previous year's taxes and look at where your situation is right now. Maybe you've actually received a new job or a salary increase this year. That could certainly affect what tax bracket you're in. If you're in a higher tax bracket, you could owe more taxes. If you sold your home, for example, and you ended up making a bundle, that again is, you know, increased income. Pay attention, essentially. Divorce parents as well. If you're splitting tax years with your previous spouse, again, that could cause some hurdles. So arguably, now's the time to sit down, look at your finances, look at what's going on in your life, and sort of, you know, start to figure out if, in fact, this is going to be an issue or not.
Thanks, Megan. Megan Lenhart, senior reporter at CNBC Make It. Don't forget to check out a podcast of the program. You can hear it on our website, thismorningwithgordondeal.com, or on all the well-known podcast platforms. 30 minutes now after the hour on This Morning, America's First News.
Innovation. Resilience. Agility. It's how Michigan businesses work together and continue to build the future. Our expertise, talented workforce, and collaborative environment are making a difference now and shaping the future. Join us and make your mark where it matters. Visit michiganbusiness.org/radio to put your plans in motion. That's michiganbusiness.org/radio.
Start your day smarter. You're listening to America's First News, This Morning with Gordon Deal.
Thanks for being with us, and welcome into Friday, June 25. Gordon Deal, Jennifer Koshenka, some of our top stories and headlines. Dozens fear dead in a South Florida building collapse. Sentencing today for the cop convicted of killing George Floyd. A bipartisan infrastructure agreement reached in Washington. Tracy Stone Manning, President Biden's pick to head the Bureau of Land Management, once wrote that protecting the environment should mean having fewer children. Intelligence officials could release their report about UFOs today, and the man who untangled a great white shark in California. That story in about 20 minutes. Well, on the medical front, as you may have heard, the FDA recently approved the first Alzheimer's drug in nearly 20 years, and that's raised a series of questions about the most common form of dementia. How can I prevent Alzheimer's? Are there any treatments out there for people who already have it? It's one of the most feared diseases and also one of the most elusive in terms of treatment and cure. More from Claire Ansberry, reporter at the Wall Street Journal. Claire, what are you hearing?
Well, it was a piece that, I mean, this drug is something that people have been anticipating for a long time, and there hasn't really been a huge breakthrough in nearly two decades. And people are cautioning that this is not representing a breakthrough in terms of cure or treatment, and that there's still a lot of questions about it, who's going to be eligible, and the care or the cost of it, who's going to cover that. But still, it is considered movement forward. So that has been long anticipated. But in the meantime, because this is not going to be a cure and an answer for everyone, we wanted to see what else is going on. You know, what are the latest treatments? What are the latest progressive developments, because this is a disease that affects More than 6 million Americans 65 and older, and it's such a frightening disease.
Yeah.
Because there is no cure, and there hasn't been a magic bullet. So wanted to see exactly what is out there that people can do in the meantime.
Right out of the gate, you talk about how to tell the difference between memory issues in normal aging versus those opposed to Alzheimer's. What are the basics there?
Well, I think that anybody at a certain age, if they forget something, they start worrying,
yes.
You know, do I have Alzheimer's? And, some of the points that are made is that, look, if you can't remember what you forgot, you have a problem. All of us are going to forget things, but it usually comes back a few hours later, or if you're not so stressed and trying to think of what you were thinking about. The second point that this researcher pointed out is that Alzheimer's, the memory issues get worse over time, but normal sort of age-related memory loss doesn't really get substantially worse.
Wow. Okay.
Also, cues help most people remember something. If something's on the tip of your tongue and somebody says something or makes an association, you can usually remember or give the right answer. And another thing is that, all of us have trouble learning something new, new technologies, smart TVs, et cetera. But with Alzheimer's, it's almost nearly impossible to figure out how to use a new or unfamiliar device.
Wow.
So those are some of the things.
We're speaking with Claire Ansberry, reporter at the Wall Street Journal. She's got an important story entitled, What Can You Do to Lower Your Risk of Alzheimer's Disease? How about some of these preventative measures? We've heard before, crossword, Sudoku. Do you include reading in that? What do they say?
Yeah, I mean, anything that keeps you mentally stimulated socially stimulated, being out with people, it's just going to keep your brain going. Diets, keeping blood pressure under control, cholesterol under control, your sugar under control. One of the things I found interesting, and I never really associated it with Alzheimer's or any sort of memory problems, is hearing. And that hearing loss was one of the biggest potentially reversible factors for Alzheimer's risk. And when he explained it, it made so much sense that, if you have hearing loss for a long period of time, it causes shrinkage of the brain regions that are very close to the memory centers because you're not using and stimulating that part of the brain.
Thanks, Claire. Claire Ansberry, reporter at The Wall Street Journal. Coming up next, another excuse to eat chocolate. This podcast is sponsored by BetterHelp. Is there something interfering with your happiness? We're all dealing with a lot right now. I'm sure you feel the same kind of added stress I do. Then you should know about BetterHelp. BetterHelp isn't a crisis line. It's not self-help. It's professional counseling done securely online. BetterHelp will assess your needs and match you with your own licensed professional therapist. Start communicating in under 48 hours. Schedule weekly or monthly phone or video sessions or whatever works for you. BetterHelp wants you to start living a happier life today. That's why there's a special offer for This Morning with Gordon Deal listeners. 10% off your first month. Visit BetterHelp.com/Gordon. That's BetterHelp.com/Gordon. And join the over 1 million people who've taken charge of their mental health with the help of an experienced professional. In fact, so many people have been using BetterHelp, they're recruiting additional counselors in all 50 states. That's 10% off your first month at BetterHelp.com/Gordon. Thanks for joining us. Welcome into Friday. It's time now for the Mic Drop with This Morning's Mike Gavin.
Good morning. Well, here's some good news. If you're tired of that healthy breakfast you always eat and are looking to mix it up on a Friday, chocolate for breakfast could be good for you. According to a new research, starting your day off with chocolate or even sneaking in a bit before bed may not have the dire effects on weight gain that you'd suspect, especially if done correctly among a certain population. The study analyzed 19 postmenopausal women who were involved in a randomized controlled crossover trial. The researchers reported that morning or nighttime chocolate intake did not lead to weight gain, and that eating chocolate either in the morning or the evening can influence hunger and appetite, sleep, and other factors. They also found that a high intake of chocolate during the morning hours could actually help with fat burning and reduce blood glucose levels. The authors acknowledged that their study was limited to a small group of postmenopausal females and said further studies would be needed involving men and young females.
I hate that.
What's that?
Further studies may be needed. But just tell me.
True, but we could volunteer. They need men for this study. So we could volunteer for this. I know. We're on the right track here, okay?
Yeah.
You know, they're not saying that that chocolate is going to kill you if you eat it in the morning. We're on the right track towards perhaps you and I waking up every day and having a big chocolate bar before we go on the air.
Right. Finally, with my beer in the morning, I have an excuse to have chocolate.
Right. The sweet and the savory. You got to mix those together.
It's fine. When you said, when done correctly, among a certain population, I thought, oh, here we go. This is they did a study of 19-year-old young men who run and bike for 4 hours a day, 6 days a week.
Yes.
Yeah, they can afford the extra 200 calories of chocolate.
More good news. There's no exercise requirement as far as we can tell as far as the eating of this chocolate. Uh-huh. So let's hope. Again, let's us volunteer.
Yep.
Let's get the study moving. And, you know, maybe in a couple months we'll be eating chocolate in the morning.
Study funded by Hershey's and Godiva. Is that what we're ultimately going to learn?
That we don't know. But again, you know, let's not look too close.
Okay.
And if you're going to be spending your Friday morning eating chocolate, you might even want to go just a step further and take the day off from work altogether. Good news for Chicago area residents, you have a ready-made excuse. The Chicago Cubs no-hit the Los Angeles Dodgers last night, and because the game was on the West Coast, there are plenty of fans who stayed up late into the night to watch the end of the game. No worries, as the Cubs posted an excuse note on Twitter that workers could, theoretically, use to try to get out of work, or at least explain their delayed arrival this morning. The note on official-looking Cubs station reads, to whom it may concern, please excuse blank on Friday, June 25th, 2021. We're just going to be honest here and let you know they were up late watching the 17th no-hitter in Chicago Cubs history. The letter goes on to explain that the person tried to go to bed at a reasonable hour but was woken up by their phone buzzing over the Cubs no-hitter and instructs employers to tweet any questions that they have to @Cubs, but also warns that they might be sleeping in, though.
It's funny.
I don't know if this is going to work again because they've tried this a few times in Chicago. Right when they won the World Series five years ago, there was a few of these along the way. So I don't know. It may be going to the well once too often with this.
Well, the win helped keep them in a share of first place, I noticed, in the Central Division.
Oh, look at you.
And I'm looking at the stats here.
Yeah.
The Cubs are the only team in that division that have a plus run differential.
Yeah.
It's so weird.
Not a robust National League Central this year.
The Brewers are in first, and they're minus one in terms of run differential.
Yeah, it's anybody's division out there.
So thankful that the soccer Euros are on. Gives me something else
so you
to
don't
do
have to watch baseball?
Baseball.
Well, look at you. You got to catch up this morning on everything you've missed.
I know.
Now you can go back to watching soccer for the rest of the weekend.
Thank you, Mike. 13 minutes now in front of the hour.
Metaphor for your business's journey. Sometimes it feels like the course keeps changing right before your eyes. Whoa! And in order to maneuver it, you need an expert by your side. That's what Dell Technologies Advisors do. They have the tech solutions you need to help you get out in front and stay ahead of the game. Whew. For advice on solutions like XPS 13 laptops powered by Intel Evo platform, call an advisor today at 877-ASK-DELL.
Taking the day's information and helping you make sense of it all. We're here for you every morning. You're listening to America's First News, This Morning with Gordon Deal.
Thanks for spending time with us. Welcome into Friday. The community is coming together after a high-rise condo building partially collapsed in the South Florida town of Surfside. If you'd like to help, there are a number of places accepting donations for the families affected. The Miami Heat basketball team and several local organizations have launched a hardship fund for the victims. It's called supportsurfside.org. You can make a one-time donation or set a monthly payment through PayPal. Another group, the Greater Miami Jewish Federation, it launched an emergency fund for families and individuals for short-term and long-term needs. Also, the Shul in Surfside is accepting donations of money and essential items to distribute to survivors. They're accepting things like deodorant, Lysol, new underwear, shorts, socks, garbage bags, and reading glasses. GoFundMe also established a centralized hub identifying all
verified fundraisers. It's 8 minutes now in front of the hour on this morning. Once again, here's Jennifer Koshenka.
And now, the three big things you need to know. Number one.
Rescue crews continue to search for survivors of the collapse of a 12-story beachfront condo in Surfside, Florida. One person has been confirmed dead. Miami-Dade Mayor Daniela Levine Cava.
We did identify and declare as safe 102 people. And 99, we still cannot account for, some of whom may not have been in the building.
According to a 2020 study, the structure has been sinking at an alarming rate since the 90s, but no cause for the collapse has been determined.
Number two.
Former Minneapolis police officer Derek Chauvin will learn his sentence today for the murder of George Floyd. The 45-year-old faces decades in prison, with several legal experts predicting a sentence of 20 to 25 years. Though Chauvin is widely expected to appeal, he also still faces trial on federal civil rights charges, along with three other fired officers who have yet to have their state trials.
Number three.
A bipartisan group of lawmakers say they've reached an agreement on a framework for a policing reform bill after weeks of talks. Republican Senators Tim Scott, Democratic Senator Cory Booker, and Democratic Congresswoman Karen Bass say they will continue their work over the next few weeks to get a finalized proposal across the finish line. They provided no details on their points of agreement. House Speaker Nancy Pelosi has announced the creation of a select committee to examine the January 6th attack on the U.S. Capitol.
It is imperative that we establish the truth of that day and ensure that an attack of that kind cannot happen, and that we root out the causes of it all.
Pelosi says a committee will report on the causes of the attack and make recommendations for the prevention of any future attacks. Good news, help is coming in the effort to beat back those annoying robocalls. By June 30th, every major voice provider, including AT&T, Verizon, and T-Mobile, and cable provider Comcast, will have to implement a technology called Stir Shaken, which authenticates a phone call's origin. Cited as the number one consumer complaint in the country, consumers have received just under 22 billion robocalls in the first 5 months of this year.
So here's the problem in my book. The scammers are smarter than the people who operate the phone
ahead.
Technology.
Yeah.
Yeah, so it'll be, oh, by 2025, we'll have some newer technology. Ugh. Coming up next, helping a great white shark with his bare hands.
As a business owner, you eventually realize you can't do everything yourself, but hiring is complicated. And what if you only need part-time help? Belay, an innovative staffing solution, has successfully matched thousands of businesses with part-time virtual assistants, bookkeepers, and social media strategists. Belay offers you a virtual support team that can transform your workday. Let Belay help you juggle less and accomplish more. Just go to Belay, B-E-L-A-Y, solutions.com/deal. That's BelaySolutions.com/deal.
Thanks for being with us. How would you feel about standing in knee-deep ocean water to help free a great white shark that was tangled in a fishing line? It happened at a California beach, and a fellow beach goer captured the video. Fox 5 San Diego says the woman saw a fishing line being pulled from far out in the water. Nobody knew what was on the end of it. The shark appeared to be about 4 feet long. In the video, an unidentified man runs into the water and grabs the shark, guiding it closer to the shore. He holds the animal while another man cuts the line before finally guiding the shark back out to sea. A spokesperson for the California State Parks Department said a situation like this wouldn't require any warnings or beach closures. That's because, he said, a great white shark this small primarily feeds on fish and stingrays. Secondly, this was a non-active interaction. The shark was not seen in the recreation zone prior to or after its release. It was there in that recreation zone because it was being rescued. That'll do it for this hour. For Jennifer Koshenka, I'm Gordon Deal. Thanks for listening to This Morning, America's First News. Do you own or rent your home? Sure you do. Fortunately, GEICO makes it easy to bundle your home and car insurance. It's a good thing, too, because having a home is hard work. Go to GEICO.com, get a quote, and see how much you could save. GEICO.com. Easy.